this is Craig Valentine, host of Early to Rise Radio. Have you ever wanted to become wealthier, healthier, wiser, or just have more time to appreciate the finer things in life? On this show, we reveal what high performers are doing every day to be more successful without sacrificing their personal lives. Early to Rise Radio is sponsored by the Perfect Day Formula. Get your free copy of this game-changing success guide at freeperfectdaybook.com. Now let's get started with today's show. Hey, how much would an extra hour per day be worth to you? Just think how you could use that time for family, for catching up on sleep, taking care of your health, or even just, you know, relaxing and doing what you love. Well, listen, this isn't just a fantasy. Today, you're going to hear my top 10 ways to save you time. Now, most of them you've never heard of before, and three of them are actually pretty shocking, like my recommendations on morning routines, exercise time, and even cooking. But I want you to keep an open mind here today because you are going to find some time-saving gold in today's show. All right, so let's stop wasting time and let's get right to it. Hi, this is Craig Valentine, author of The Perfect Day Formula and host of Early to Rise Radio. Now, I've dedicated my life to helping people get faster results for their health, wealth, and even in their personal relationships. So when you're ready to work with me one-on-one, just visit perfectlifeworkshop.com and fill out the application. Now it's time to save you time. Now let me begin with something that's actually pretty surprising. You see, I've coached thousands of entrepreneurs in dozens of industries, and I'm always shocked at how inefficient so many successful people still seem to be at work and at home. So while they're financially successful, they are time poor. But you know what? Don't worry. You don't have to quit your job and, you know, move to Costa Rica and live on the beach and give up all your ambitions just to get back your time. Instead, you just need to really be relatively ruthless, smarter, and more loving with the minutes you are given each day. Plus, you have to be willing to forgive yourself. That's right, forgive yourself when it comes to time. You have to let go of things that don't serve you. And you actually have to give yourself permission to pamper your productivity. All sounds a little bit strange, right? Well, let's get into tip number one, time journaling. Time journaling is the foundation, the mental foundation of your time-saving tips. We absolutely have to start here. It's much like how a dieter needs to use a food journal to identify where they are hungry, how foods make them feel, and what temptations cause the biggest problems. This is like drawing out a treasure map for your time, because when you do this, you're going to find out what time of day you're most productive, what time of day you start to waste time, and what, you know, the food and drink that you have due to your time management, and where those obstacles and temptations come in and start stealing your time, and same with the people in your life that start stealing your time, and what temptations causes you the biggest problems. So we observe and orient how we use the minutes in our morning, how we overcome time sucks in the afternoon, and how we can regain control of our hours in our evenings. So with a time journal, you're going to take a piece of paper or you're going to go to craigvalentine.com/free gift and get the free time journal there. And you're going to print that out and you're going to go through your day, starting when you wake up. Every 20 minutes for the rest of the day, you are going to write down how you are feeling. So if you're energetic, lazy, tired, angry, struggling, you're going to write that down. You're also going to write down what you are doing. Are you reading? Are you surfing the internet? Are you looking on Instagram? Are you focused and in deep work? Are you exercising, meditating, eating? What are you doing at that time? And then write down why you're doing it. Why are you surfing the internet? Why are you scrolling through an Instagram feed again? Why are you going for a walk? Why are you grabbing some cookies that you don't need? That's what you're going to do over the course of the day. How you're feeling, what you're doing, and why you're doing it. Every 20 minutes, you're going to do this for at least one work day, preferably two, and then one weekend day. That's how we did the food journals back in my research time when I was in exercise physiology back in college. We would give our subjects in the study 2, food journal days to do during the week and then one weekend day so that we understood what they were eating and at what time they were doing that. And when we did that, we were able to identify their obstacles and come up with solutions. And when you do this with a time journal, we'll find your obstacles, your OCD loops, as my mentor Eben Pagan called them. And that is where you just get into these bad habits of going online and cycling through a bunch of websites, like maybe Instagram and social media feeds. There's more OCD loops available to us now than ever before. So we're going to find your bad times. But we're also going to find your good times, something that I call magic time, when you're 3 times more productive than at any other time of day. It's about a 90-minute block, and when we find that 90-minute block, we have to ruthlessly protect that block and not take calls and not do anything, not get distracted, because we need to use that magic time to triple our productivity. And that's how you can actually get 8 hours of work done in a 5-hour day when you use your time properly. So finally, the third thing that the time journal does is it allows us to place a value on our time. So for example, let's say you made $400 per day. That means you're being paid $50 an hour for an 8-hour workday. Well, if you're standing at the copy machine, I don't know, do they even make copies anymore? I don't work in an office, but imagine you were. You know, you're standing at the copy machine making copies, but your time is worth $50 an hour. Something has to change here, especially if you're an entrepreneur. You can take control of that time. And that's what's going to happen when we get to the permission section of these top 10 tips. So you have to take a look at how much am I making per day? How many hours am I working? And therefore, what's my hourly rate? And if that's my hourly rate, that's my value. And I need to be making sure that I'm only doing activities that are above my hourly rate so that I can make more money and be more productive and be more successful and move my company or move my own business ahead in life. So just find that value and keep that in mind when we get on to the section of giving yourself permission. So the time journal, again, it's our foundation. It's our treasure map. It's like, okay, here's how we're using our time. And it gives us an idea of how we should be using our time to get to that pot of gold under the time rainbow. To totally mix my metaphors and analogies. All right, so the second time tip that we're gonna do is now that we've gone through our time journal, we basically understood how we are spending our morning routine. And you know what? Most people have a terrible, terrible morning routine. And I'm not talking about the people that get up, hit the snooze button, and are late all day. No, I'm also talking about the overly ambitious people who at 7 a.m. are already stressed out because of the 2-hour morning routine they just did that didn't actually accomplish anything. So, you know, a lot of people, they wake up and because they've read articles about what Elon Musk does and Oprah does and Tim Cook does at Apple and all these other people, Marissa Mayer and, you know, some of these Hollywood celebrities, they've come up with this list of things to do that they think they have to do, like yoga, meditation, gratitude journaling, freeform journaling, exercise, watching motivational videos on YouTube, doing spiritual work, reading the Bible, doing devotions, all of these things. Like some people even have interpretive dance in there, you know? And it's like, listen, we got to stop the insanity because if you're doing 2 or 3 hours of activity in the morning before you accomplish anything, you are only setting yourself up for struggle. Because successful people don't do 14 things before breakfast. And I say that because there are articles online that are very popular about the 14 things that successful people are supposedly do before breakfast. But if you add up all that time, it takes 4.5 hours. That's a 4.5 hour morning routine, and nobody has time for that. All right? So listen, successful people don't do a million things before breakfast. They only do one. They give themselves solitude and thinking time. Now, you might do writing or you might do planning and preparation or maybe you do meditation. But successful people give themselves solitude and thinking time before the day gets crazy. And in that solitude time, even if it's just 15 minutes in the morning, as I teach people in my book, Perfect Day Formula, you get a win. And when you have a victory, you see progress. And when you see progress, you have momentum. And it keeps you coming back again and again to do the work. Because research shows that if employees do not see progress in their jobs, they become disengaged and demotivated. And that's the same with our own personal lives. If we don't see progress in our lives because our days are so busy and we're so reactive, then we are going to lose motivation. We're going to drop out of our exercise programs. We're going to drop out of our success rituals. We're going to stop writing that book. We're going to stop doing those things. So we need to cut back on time-filling activities in the morning. Be ruthless about your morning routine. If you are absolutely committed to reading the Bible, then read the Bible for 10 to 15 minutes. Do your devotionals and then get to that solitude time for your professional life. If you're focused on, I absolutely have to do my exercise program first thing in the morning, then do it. Give yourself some solitude time and then get ready and dominate your day. Now, speaking of exercise, that brings us to tip number three, and a very controversial point, especially from a guy who's made his career in the exercise world. I'm telling you, you should probably cut the amount of time you spend exercising every day. That's right. Cut your exercise time. If you are so busy that you don't have time to get everything done, but you're exercising for an hour a day, you need to stop exercising for an hour a day. And listen, I'll tell you, I have made a fortune selling 4-minute workout programs because they work, they improve your fitness, they help you lose weight, and they give you health and energy. You know, every single minute you spend in the gym, every single exercise, every single set, every single repetition must be justified. And I'm not just talking about in terms of time, but also in terms of stimulus and adaptation for your training program. Like if you go in and you say, oh, I need to do 45 minutes of cardio per day. Well, how do you draw that line? What's 45 minutes giving you that 40 couldn't? Or why not do 50? Shouldn't you be doing 50 minutes if you're doing 45? If you're just going in and arbitrarily doing an amount of exercise because you think that's the amount of exercise you have to do, it's time for you to hire a trainer and do a really hard look at what you're doing in your exercise program. Because you don't have to train 45 minutes. If you train harder for 30 minutes, you'll get more results than if you train at a mediocre pace for 45 minutes. Or if you're doing 4 exercises, you can probably get the same results, if not more, from 3 exercises. If you're doing 3 sets per exercise, you can probably get the same results in 2, and you can probably get about 70% of the results as if you did just 1 set. So I want you to cut back. Don't rush through your warm-up. That's important. But make sure that you're justifying every single minute that you spend in the gym. Because you also then have to justify the drive to the gym. Do you really need that expensive equipment? Do you really need to drive to the gym, stop at Starbucks, wait in line at Starbucks, finally get to the gym, find parking? Like, think of how much time you are wasting doing that. When, if you just have simple basic fitness and energy and health goals, you could be exercising with your body weight only in the comfort of your own home and saving 30 minutes on going to the gym and probably 20 minutes on your actual exercise routine, saving you hours per week. You don't need fancy equipment if you just want to be fit, lean, and healthy and energetic. So let's take a look at your goals and your beliefs about exercise in general and figure out, are these things serving you? Are these goals of being in a triathlon serving you if you want to have more time for your career and your family? I have a lot of coaching clients who for some reason don't have time for their family, but are training 6 hours per week for a triathlon. That doesn't make sense. What are you running from? Literally, what are you running from in your life if you're exercising that much? Why are you doing that? You don't need that much exercise to feel good, to be energetic. No, you need nutrition and a bit of exercise and movement, but you don't need hours and hours and hours per week. So I am challenging you hard on this to cut back. This might be the one where you actually save the most minutes. So look at your time and spent, your frequency of training, how often you go to the gym, and cut back on that. Increase your intensity safely. Keep your warm up. Make sure that you are mobile and moving. But don't exercise as much as you are right now. That'll probably save you a ton of time. Now we move into our fourth tip, which is weekly schedule and work blocks. And if we do this right, oh my goodness, we can really become more productive. Now, I might not change the amount of time you work here, but the quality of work is going to dramatically increase when you have the right weekly schedule and work block in place. Now, over time, I've been teaching daily schedules, but what I realized was not every day has to look the same. In fact, you can have dramatically different days each day of the week that help you dominate your schedule better. But before I get to that, I want to talk to you about a very famous marshmallow experiment. Yes, the Stanford Marshmallow Experiment. This was done, I believe, in the 60s. And what they found was, or what they did first, let's explain what they did. Geez, we have to say, explain that these psychologists put together this very tricky scientific experiment where they had children left in a room and there were marshmallows there. And there were also toys in the room, but there were yummy marshmallows there. And what they found was the children who delayed eating the marshmallows the longest were then tracked over time. And those children were found to have better habits and more success in life because they were able to delay gratification. And that's actually one of the chapters in my book. I tell this little story about how every Sunday morning, my mom used to take my sister and I to church. And when you're a six-year-old kid, you really don't want to pay attention too much. And so she gave us candy after about 20 minutes because that's when we started to get restless. And my sister and I would each get a roll of some sweet tart things. And then I would try and see if I could go longer before eating my sweet tarts than my sister. Sometimes we would play with our candy, but I wanted to be the one who had the last sweet tart left because I wanted to practice my delayed gratification and win. For some reason, that was some battle that I wanted to win, and it actually helped me out because it helped me build habits and discipline and structure over the years so that I was able to transfer that to studying and even doing this podcast, as I'll explain a bit more in a moment. So the marshmallow experiment, we can apply to our workday as well. We want to work and then get a reward. Now, most people, what they do in their lives is they wake up and immediately go to reward on their smartphone, right? They immediately go and start scrolling their social media. But what I want you to do is set up your day so that you go and do something valuable first, and then you give yourself a reward. And you do that several times over the course of the day. So what I want you to do is build in work blocks, 2 to 3 hour work blocks, and then at the end of that work block, if it was successful, you get a reward. Work, reward, delayed gratification. That's going to help you build the mental toughness to be success in life. So in those 2 to 3 hour blocks, and you want to have the blocks that long because you want to have minimal transition time. Because if you're jumping from one activity to the other, it takes a lot of mental energy and it takes 15 to 25 minutes. I used to think it was 15, but I just saw an estimate that it takes 25 minutes to properly switch and get into focus when you're going back and forth between tasks. So if you're switching every 30 minutes, you're really just only getting 5 minutes of work in. So you need to have bigger blocks. You might take a 10-minute break in there and move around and get away from a seated position, but go back to the same activity. So I coach my clients to have about 4 to 5 blocks of 2 to 3 hours over the course of the day. Not all of these are work blocks. I'm not saying you're going to work 15 hours a day, but you might wake up and have a 2 hour productivity morning routine block where you actually get something done. And then maybe you have meditation and exercise. And then you'll have a 2 hour block where it's getting the kids up, making them breakfast, getting yourself to work and settling in. And then you have a 2 hour focus block of work, or maybe 2 hours of meetings or calls or whatever it is. Then a lunch break, which won't be a 2 hour block, but a short block. And then another 2 hour block early in the afternoon, and then a break, and then another 2 hour block before you leave work. And then you have the rest of the time to block for dinner block and then wind down block for the end of the day where you spend time with your family and you read and you get away from your electronics. So those are how you're going to block your day. And you have those generic blocks in there. It becomes very easy to slot in deep work because we really need to make sure we're doing daily deep work. And that's a great phrase that I've borrowed from Cal Newport, who is a master of deep work. This guy is a I believe he has a doctorate in engineering or something, and he's very busy with his work at the university, but he also pumps out books and tons of great content because he's focused on deep work and he doesn't get sucked in to social media and he doesn't have a lot of transition time wasted every day. So what you need to do is have a deep work block every day where you are going to focus on your number one priority. And that deep work block should be earlier in the day when you have greater discipline and more willpower and fewer distractions. If you try and do your deep work block at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, well, good luck. Not too many people are going to be able to pull that off with all the deadlines in the day for urgent but non-important work, and also for helping their colleagues with their emergencies. But your daily deep work block should probably be much earlier in the day. Mine is very early in the day. It's at 4 o'clock in the morning. Now, I don't think you should be doing that at 4 o'clock in the morning, but if you get up and you do 30 minutes of deep work before everybody else in the house gets up, you're going to move ahead in life. Then make sure that you have a morning priority, an afternoon priority, and an evening priority in these work blocks. An evening priority might be family, but you're going to set up your day with these 2 to 3 hour blocks and then fill in the specifics when you do your planning that we'll talk about in a second. Now, one last thing on weekly schedule and work blocks. I mentioned earlier that different days, different domination. What that means is your Monday might not look like your Friday. It might not have as many, you know, your Friday might not have as many work blocks, and that's totally fine. You can front load your week by working 10 hours on Monday so that you can only work 6 hours on Friday, or 10 hours on Monday and Tuesday so you only work 4 hours on Friday. So just think about how you can differentiate your days based on the schedule, based on your family's routines and requirements, that maybe you can have a slightly longer day so you can have more free time on another day. Think about how you set up your weekly schedule based on your family schedule, your own mental energy, your deadlines, your timelines, your own business, your own career, when it requires more work from you. And see if you can't customize a weekly schedule that really optimizes your time. This is thinking different. So think different about your days so that you have domination every single day. Now, speaking of deep work, that brings us to tip number 5, which is doing deep work every day. Now, in order to do deep work, we have to remove ourselves of distractions. And I want to use a junk food analogy here. So there's a guy named Brian Wansink from Cornell University, and he's written books called Mindless Eating and a few other ones. And he has a lot of great scientific experiments. I mean, they're just some really fabulous stuff, like this soup bowl that was constantly refilled just to see how much soup people would eat with different sized bowls and spoons. It's very interesting. But one of the things that he found that has always stuck with me is how we can stop ourselves from eating junk food. So if you have a bowl of M&Ms on your desk, you are going to eat those M&Ms because they're in sight. They're in arm's reach. There's no barriers, right? And what he found was if you put them in a jar that you couldn't see into, an opaque jar, you'd eat less. Now, if you took that opaque jar and you moved it across the room, you'd eat even less. Then if you took that opaque jar and you put it up in a high cupboard that was difficult to get to, you would eat even less. And then, of course, if you didn't have it there, you wouldn't eat any. So we want to apply the M&M analogy there to our smartphone. So most of us are distracted by our smartphones. As I do this podcast, my smartphone is not in sight. It's in airplane mode, even though it's not in sight or within arm's reach. And that way, I am not going to stop this podcast and start scrolling through my Instagram feed. So think about that. How can you eliminate distractions so you can do deep work? If your smartphone is a problem, when you go into your deep work block, make sure that you turn it off, turn it over, hide it, put it in airplane mode, turn it off, do everything you possibly can, maybe even put it in a safe, put it in a safe and lock it up until you're done your work. Sometimes we have to go to extreme measures in order to get results. So figure out how can I do that for a lot of the distractions in life so that I can do my deep work. You might also look into internet freedom programs. There are programs that block you from using certain websites or using the entire internet for certain time blocks. You set that up, so maybe from 9 a.m. until 11, you can't access the internet on your computer. All you can do is sit there and go through your reports, or do your meetings, or write your book. Again, it's an extreme way of doing things, but I know so many people that use it because it works. It allows them to get in to doing deep work. And then finally, the last thing that I'll recommend on doing deep work is public accountability. You can tell people, hey, I write my book from 9 a.m. till noon every day. I don't use the internet. And you can tell them that on the internet. And if they catch you on the internet, man, you're going to feel like a silly person, aren't you? So that public accountability is key. It's key in weight loss, and it's key in sticking to your deep work as well. So let's go on to time tip number 6. This is where I give you permission to pamper your productivity. What the heck do you mean, Craig Ballantyne? Permission to pamper your productivity. Listen, I want you to give up the guilt on doing stuff. Maybe you were raised by a mom who did everything, right? She cooked, she cleaned, she did the laundry 3 times per week. She drove you to every practice. She did all of these things. It was a full-time job. And now you, with your full-time job, are expected to have that full-time job as well. And it's causing you a great amount of stress. It's causing you to neglect your health. It's causing you to ruin some relationships in your life because it's so hard to do all this stuff. And it's all because you have guilt from other people, society saying, oh, you need to not only work, but you also need to cook, clean, do the laundry, mow the lawn, do all of these things. No, listen, in this day and age, you are going to give yourself permission to spend your time as you please and to stop doing what you don't enjoy. So if you don't want to go to the grocery store ever again, there are multiple services out there that can do your groceries for you. If you don't ever want to cook during the week, there are multiple services out there who deliver meals for you. And there is no shame in this. You don't do your own plumbing. You don't have to do your own cooking. It's okay. You don't have to run your own errands. You don't have to do your own cleaning. You don't have to do your own laundry. There are other people out there that will do it. You don't have to cut your own lawn. You don't have to do your chores. You don't have to. You can give yourself permission to be free of these things. Because I want you to ask yourself some existential questions, I suppose. What are you here for? Are you here to go out and sweep your driveway after you mow the lawn and make sure that every blade of grass is off it? Man, when I see, and this is usually older folks doing this, I just wonder, like, do you realize how much time you are wasting on this? It doesn't matter. It is so insignificant if you have a blade of grass on your driveway. That's not what you're here for. You're here for doing great work. Now, on the other hand, what are other people here for? Some of them, to them, doing great work is cutting a beautiful lawn or preparing these meals. That's their gift that they were born with, and they love to do it, while you don't love to do it. So let them do it so that you can spend more time doing what you love. Think about that, all right? Think about how every activity you take, how it serves you, how it serves your legacy, your family, your future, your energy, your attitude. If you hate doing things, find a way to stop doing them and find someone who loves it. Because there are plumbers who love plumbing. And I don't think I could ever love plumbing, but they do. And you know what? I'm not going to stop them from enjoying doing my plumbing. And that'll save me a ton of time. All right? So that's permission. Tip number 7 is deadlines. Now, one of my favorite lessons from Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Workweek, was when he mentioned Parkinson's Law. I had never heard of it before. But Parkinson's Law goes like this. Work expands to fill the time allotted for it. And he used the analogy, or I think he did. Maybe I just used the analogy. But I used the analogy of a college essay. Now, when we were in college, our professors would say to us, okay, your essay is due on March 31st. And when would we get that essay done? Well, in most cases, March 31st at midnight, you know, right before the last second handed in. Now, what if he had said March 24th? Somehow we would have found a way to get it done on March 24th. What would we have done if he had said April 6th? Well, we would have waited another week because work would expand to fill the time allotted for it, and we would have not gotten it done until midnight on April 6th. That's just the way things are, and that's why deadlines are so powerful. And not only deadlines for major projects, which we should always move as close as humanly possible, is a nice challenge. You know, if you have a deadline of March 31st, why not try and pull it back to March 24th? Because that'll save you time. You'll get your work done. You'll stay focused. But if you have that deadline that's so far away, you'll start doing other stuff that will get you off track. But aside from those big projects, we should also have deadlines within our day. And I'm going to give credit to Dan Kennedy on this. I'm going to call it Kennedy's Laws of Cutoff Times, because I had never really thought about it this way, but most people don't have deadlines for the end of their meetings, end of their phone calls. They say, oh, you know, I'm going to get on a phone call at 2:00 with Bob. You know, I don't have anything scheduled at 2:30 or 3 or 3:30 or 4. So, I mean, I might be here till 4 on this call with Bob. And that's because people with the gift of gab expand the time allotted for the meeting, right? They will just talk and talk and talk, and you'll listen and you'll talk and talk and talk. And the next thing you know, it's 90 minutes have gone by and the meeting or the phone call, wow, it's really gone on more than 3 times longer than it should, and it has sucked away your time. So you need deadlines for your projects, just like you had deadlines in college, and you need deadlines in your day. For example, I did this podcast on a Sunday morning, and I actually struggled to figure out what the heck could I do as a topic. But once I figured my topic out, I said, okay, I'm going to give myself 30 minutes to write the outline and then 45 minutes to record the podcast. And I hit those deadlines. I stayed focused because I had deadlines on doing it, because I have to move on to other social projects for the rest of my day. So put deadlines into your day, put deadlines into your big projects, and then cut them back. Be ruthless. Push yourself. Don't be extreme, but push yourself. That brings us to tip number 8, planning and preparation. Now, planning and preparation is really one of the keys to success, but I don't want you to turn planning and preparation into its own perverse form of procrastination, which I see with a lot of people who wait to do their to-do lists until the morning. But if you're doing your to-do list in the morning, you're already too late, because it's going to take you 20 minutes to figure out what you should do over the course of the day. Because you're waking up, you're tired, you're like, I don't know, what do I feel like doing today? No, that's not how you do a to-do list. You plan and prepare for tomorrow, tonight. It's a 3-step process, and it only takes about 10 minutes when you are focused. And it starts with a brain dump. So you're going to take out a piece of paper, or you're going to use the scripting pad that we give you in the Perfect Day Formula Kit. And you're going to do a brain dump. You're going to write down all the people you want to contact, all the things you want to do, all the errands you have to run, all this stuff. Get it all out of your head, all those crazy thoughts. Now you take a look at all you've written down and you prioritize. And you go, okay, here are the 3 most important things I need to do tomorrow. And you put those in order. And that's your to-do list. And everything else gets put off to the side in a nice to-do but not necessary to-do. And then the 3rd step that most people don't know about is process planning. And I learned this from Chip and Dan Heath. Chip and Dan Heath have a book. It's called Switch. So in their book called Switch, they talk about making the path smooth. They use the analogy of a person riding an elephant. And if you ride an elephant down a path and there's a big tree in the way, you're not going to get very far. So before you go on the elephant, make sure the path is clear so that you can ride the elephant and make the ride smooth. So an analogy for this process planning would be, if you want to do exercise, if you want to exercise first thing in the morning, well, for most people that struggle with exercise, they'll find any excuse to not do it. And they'll wake up and they go, oh, my clothes are still in the closet, or they're dirty, or, you know, they're halfway across the room and it's cold. I'm just going to throw on this sweater and I'm just going to, you know, go get a cup of coffee. And the next thing you know, it's time to go to work. But if you wake up and your exercise clothes are right beside the bed and your shoes are right there, you put them on and you've made the path smooth. Now back to our planning from the night before for our process, for our work. Well, I'm a writer and I want to wake up every morning and write 1,500 words. That's my first work block of the day. And so what I do is instead of waking up to a blank Word document, which can give even me writer's block, I make sure that I put down a few bullet points the night before. And so when I wake up, it's easier for me to write three sections of 500 words than one 1,500 word section. So I've made the process smooth with process planning. It's like the writer's version of laying out my exercise clothes. Now, if you do that, and you spend 15 magic minutes in the morning on your number one priority, like I talked about before, having that quiet time in solitude, you're going to move ahead. And you're going to think, oh, 15 minutes in the morning, what's that going to do? Well, 15 minutes in the morning, done 6 days a week, is 72 hours in a year of thinking on your number one priority. You can write a book in just 3 months, 15 minutes a day. Because if you're a good typer, and you're an expert in your area, you can write about 500 words in 15 minutes. And if you do that 6 days a week, that's 3,000 words. And if you do that for 10 weeks, that's a 30,000 word mini book, 15 minutes at a time. Now, hopefully this time expands and you focus more than just 15 minutes on your number one priority. But if you've done the planning the night before, it's going to go very smooth and productive every day. And you're really going to save a lot of time. Number nine, this is where we also save time with our ninth tip, removing obstacles. It starts with making our not-to-do list. And I've made a not-to-do list for you at craigballantine.com/free gift. And you can download that and your time journal. And what you'll commit to is no more gossiping. Gossip goes on your not-to-do list. That's a waste of time. It's a waste of energy to be involved in negativity and gossip. Also, make sure that you're not spending time with negative people because you're going to become like a negative person, wasting time and having a bad attitude. Also, mindless internet surfing, put that on your not-to-do list. Put binge-watching television shows on your not-to-do list. Do all of the things that are stopping you from success, put those on your not-to-do list. Eating bad foods, going to fast food restaurants, drinking alcohol late at night, that's going to stop you from having a good sleep and leave you waking up with a hangover. That's going to waste your time. So put those all in a not-to-do list. And then you're going to use my five pillars of success and transformation from my book to help you overcome those. Most importantly, you're going to have public accountability. You're going to tell people, I don't do these things. And then they're going to help you hold you to it. All right? They're going to hold you to it so that you stop wasting time. Because remember this, every minute you waste is stealing a minute from your children, from your love life, your health, and your wealth. Don't lose any more time. Now, maybe you've heard me talk about this before, but I've read the 100 Kekich Credos over and over again. They're written by my friend Dave Kekich. And the second credo is probably one of the most important ones for you. And it states this, cherish time, your most valuable resource. You can never make up the time you lose. It's the most important value for any productive, happy individual, and it is the only limitation to all accomplishment. To waste time is to waste your life. The most important choices you'll ever make are to how to use your time. And I'll add to that, one of the most important choices you'll ever make is how not to use your time. How not to use your time with the not-to-do list. So go through your time journal, identify where you're weak, where you're getting sucked into bad decisions, and then add those things, those time wasters, to your not-to-do list. Then use my five pillars of success, better planning and preparation, professional accountability, positive social support, a meaningful incentive, and the big deadline to change your habits so you no longer do those things, so you're no longer wasting time and stealing minutes from what matters. That's so important. And now we come to our 10th tip, and it's fitting because it's the end of our day tip, and it's about how to fall asleep faster. Because listen, we all want more sleep. And that's what some of you might even use your extra time for that I've helped you save. Because most people struggle to get quality sleep. And the thing is, if you can get great sleep, better sleep, even from the amount of time you're sleeping now, which you can, You'll be better in all of your daily activities. You'll be more focused. You'll be more creative. And that way, you'll be using your time better all day long when you use your nighttime sleep time better. So let's review proven science about how to maximize our time and sleep recovery. We want to use my 10-3-2-1-0 formula, eliminating mental stimulants. So we're going to stop caffeine intake 10 hours before bed. We're going to avoid heavy meals 2 to 3 hours before bed. We're going to avoid alcohol 3 hours before bed if we want to have a great night's sleep. Now, it might help you fall asleep faster, but it doesn't allow you to get into deep sleep and you're going to wake up groggy. So we can't have alcohol close to bed. We're going to stop work an hour before bed. We're going to stop using electronics an hour before bed. And that way, we're not mentally alert from email or Netflix or whatever it is. Instead, we wind down. We wind down with reading, with a bath, with a shower, with reading to our children, with talking to our spouse. And that way we get our mind ready for sleep. We also follow sleep, good sleep hygiene. So we go to bed at the same time each night and we get up at the same time every day. Oh, that is a game changer for your energy. We keep the room at 65 to 67 degrees Fahrenheit when we sleep. We use blackout shades at home if possible. If not, we use an eye mask, and I always sleep with one of those in a hotel room because there are so many funky, bright lights in a hotel room that you can't control. I also use earplugs, and I always use those in hotel rooms and even in my home here in Toronto because they're just honking cars out there all night long. You can also buy a bottle of lavender oil and put a drop on your pillow, and that's supposed to help you sleep faster. And then finally, consider using melatonin an hour before bedtime. I use a product called Sprayable Sleep sometimes, and it helps me as I transport myself between time zones and sometimes get out of my good sleep hygiene. Now, other things that work for me include keeping the phone out of the room and using an old school alarm clock, reading a book or magazine for 20 to 30 minutes before bed, sharing gratitude or prayers for 5 minutes before bed, and I avoid liquids 4 hours before bed. Otherwise, I'm going to wake up in the middle of the night and use the bathroom. Now, if you have trouble falling asleep or if you wake up and you can't get back to sleep, try this breathing routine. You're going to do a 4 second inhale through your nose. Then you're going to hold that breath for 7 seconds, big belly breath. Hold that for 7 and then exhale for 8 seconds through your mouth. If you repeat this 4 times, well, you probably won't even get through it 4 times. It's as good, well, it's better than counting sheep. Counting sheep never worked for me. But doing this breathing cycle, 4 seconds in, 7 second hold, 8 seconds out, repeat that 4 times, you'll dramatically calm down. It's great for stress relief as well. And it'll help you fall asleep and fall back asleep. So listen, proper sleep drives the rest of your day. And every tip here is top notch, but this last tip is the physical foundation of your success. Just like the time journal is the mental foundation of your successful time pyramid. And those 10 tips are going to save you hours per week. Hours per week. And so you're going to have so much more quality time for your work, for your family, for your health, for your wealth, for your love of your life. It is really going to be a game changer. This is one of the most action-packed podcasts I've ever made for you. So listen, I made a bold claim at the start of the show, but as you can see, I backed it up with science and experience. So listen, there's no excuse not to get started today. Use these 10 tips, cut back, say no, add deadlines, and give yourself permission to use your time productively for your right life. Now, I'd love to hear what you think about today's show and the controversial recommendations and what you plan to change in your daily routines to get the most living from the minutes in your life. So keep me posted and please email me at support@earlytorise.com or send me a message on instagram.com/realcraigvalentine or on Twitter at twitter.com/craigvalentine. Thanks for listening to Early to Rise Radio. Please head over to iTunes and rate today's show and share it with your friends. And don't forget, you make time for what matters. You don't find time, you make time. And these 10 tips are a game changer for making more time in your life. And when you're ready to take your success to the next level, work with me one-on-one. The ultimate time-saving tool is working with me one-on-one. Just go over and visit perfectlifeworkshop.com today and fill in your application to get started. And I'll talk to you soon.